it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sadly, we just have a lousy phone system. We just do. This happens too often when we're trying to call a guest and the phone line goes dead. Then it pops up some strange number, and then there's ringing and ringing. Closed Circuit Odyssey, can we get a phone system that actually works? We're trying to track down our guy, Chris Carter. I'm texting with him. He's tried to call. We've tried to call him. Just seems if we're going to occasionally have guests on the station or occasionally we take calls, we should have a phone system that would work. That's just silly me. I think we should have that. We've somehow figured it out enough to have Chris call us, and we're on the air. Seems pretty professional when we need to call you, correct?
Hey, man, whatever we got to do, man.
Yeah, you can get it done. This is the great Chris Carter is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Okay, where did you watch last night's game, if I can pry a little bit?
In my master bedroom.
Okay.
The final.
So
in Boca Raton, Florida.
So you're a bedroom watch. You're not a couch, not like a TV room. You've got the bedroom. That's where you do it.
Well, we watch for the most part. My wife said she was starting to go upstairs, and she wanted to finish watching it upstairs. So I was watching it outside, taking advantage of the beautiful weather here.
Mm-hmm. Taunting.
And so then I moved, and then that's when we start getting hot.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you.
That might be my new spot.
Okay. If I was observing Chris Carter during last night's game, are you stoic? Are you emotional? Are you riding the waves? How does that play out?
I mean, I ride the wave like with partial a player, partially a fan, but really cheering for people.
Okay.
And, you know, typically those are the storylines behind the people. And, you know, I love KO and what he's doing with the Vikings. And then, you know, ultimately, like when I talked to the team this summer, the thing I addressed them about, eventually, KO, you got to develop a quarterback. Like, you can't be no quarterback whisperer unless you can get in the draft.
Yes.
Have all these different options. Pick one yourself and develop him. And then we can take advantage of him being on his rookie contract and put other talented people around him. That's where the Minnesota Vikings are today.
So let's talk about that. Considering how it played out, would you have preferred last night facing legitimate adversity, a pick six, and then McCarthy throwing two touchdown passes and running for a third in the fourth, which has never been done in a debut before, or would you have preferred just a thorough clinical performance right from the start?
I mean, whatever it is, it is. Eventually, we're going to get the talent out of the kid. He's got it in him. The stage is set. That's where the NFL is. And if you can do it in Detroit, Chicago, and in Green Bay, that bodes well for your NFL career and for Vikings fans. So, typically, there's no easy way into the league. Typically get beat up coming in, and typically there's no exit strategy, so you end up getting beat up going out.
Yeah.
So he's already faced a lot of adversity in being injured his rookie year and having to watch that offense play at a prolific clip and watch Sam Darnold. And, you know, to be able to see that's his job. And then all the rumors this offseason, you know, what is, you know, Kevin O'Connell going to do as far as a quarterback? Are they going to take a shot at Aaron Rodgers? Do they really believe in the kid? well, maybe his injury was going to take longer. He had a setback. You know, all these things that we don't know how much of that was true. But ultimately, you know, they drafted him, and they were going to give him the keys to the franchise and give him an opportunity. And he has an awful lot of talent around him. My biggest concern was left tackle Darisol being out.
Yep.
That for a young quarterback, you know, that's a security blanket better than a tight end when you know your blind side is going to be protected. And Chicago did a good job, you know, early in the game, you know, putting him under duress.
Yeah, and the left tackle school clearly is not Darisol in the first half. That was an issue. So as you're watching, and you don't have the wisdom of the game plan, but you have the wisdom of a Hall of Fame career. So when you're watching in the first half, then the nailer pass late in the first half sets up a field goal, what do you think wasn't working? And then what impressed you most about his play in the fourth quarter when the offense came through with the 21 points?
Well, earlier in the game, it's about generating first downs. And you have to understand it's going to be difficult as offense to operate, especially with a young quarterback. You know, I could see in the telecast it was awful loud there. They were having problems with the communication. And they were rushed by the clock an awful lot.
Constantly.
So, I mean, so the NFL football game is going to put you under duress. And then now when you put yourself, because of the mechanics, and I don't know what it was, I don't know, just something that the Vikings had between them and the quarterback that was not allowing them to administrate the way you typically run their offense. And we've seen this offense with a lot of different quarterbacks, and that's typically not something that they struggle. So for me, you know, what their identity was going to be, they're going to be a bigger, stronger, more powerful offensive line, especially through the center and the two guards. And we got two running backs. We're going to utilize both of them, run the ball more this year. And with, you know, TJ being 1 year removed from that injury, which has set us up with some good play action pass. And Jordan Addison is going to have a breakout year. We are through one game of that suspension. So, me, those are the things I'm thinking before the season. Like, when am I going to start seeing these things? And I know JJ has the traits to be a number one quarterback. And I'm glad that we are grooming him as a pocket quarterback, and we're only using his athleticism as a trick. You know, red zone, which they made a great play call with the option fake there, and he was able to get outside and score the football. But, you know, we are developing him in the pocket, and that's the hardest thing to do with a young quarterback. So those are the things that I was thinking about. Okay, when are these things going to happen? And it's tough to win in Chicago. And this being his first start, he's got over 100 people at the game, all this outside pressure. You know, the game is moving too fast for him, and when is it going to slow down? And for our defense to allow us to stay in the game and us to get the 3 points before halftime, I think that was huge momentum. We're just in striking distance of still winning, and I played horrible.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't know the score and you just watched the game after 30 minutes, you think the Bears are up three scores, potentially, the way it played out. Now, you pretty much answered this, but I want to ask you, because you talked about at some point this organization, if KOC is truly a quarterback whisperer, you have to get a guy, you have a guy. So if this team, if KOC would have listened to Aaron Rodgers, and KOC has been pretty honest about the relationship and that Rodgers wanted to come here, if this team would have signed Rodgers and told JJ to wait another year, what would you have thought about that decision?
I'm one of those kind of people that I trust who the Wilfs are going to put in charge. And I really try to support their decisions. And if you look at since they've been here, the type of people they're bringing into the locker room and the family atmosphere that they do have, you know, I thought it would hurt his development, because if that quarterback and Aaron Rodgers plays well, what do? You roll it back again?
Yeah.
Run it back again?
Right.
Like, and then so now we're in year three that quick, which becomes a money year. Okay, now am I going to take his fifth-year option? So, like, you really move the process back. And I think that with the other players around it, the team, and really concentrating on big people, interior defensive line, interior offensive line, realizing if we're going to beat the Philadelphias, the Detroits on a regular basis, we're going to have to get better in those areas and be able to do that. And went back to their quarterback evaluation before the draft. They're like, he's our quarterback of the future. So, you know, they reset, and it's obvious that they got it right. And it's going to be exciting to be able to see this football team and to be able to see JJ as he grows as the starting quarterback for the Purple.
This is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter, who's kind enough to join us. Chad Hartman here with you on CCO. So let's talk about a little bit of that power football, along with the Bears being the Bears. When they have the ball first and 10 at the 24, and Caleb completes that pass to Swift, and then it's borderline first and goal. It's first and 10 at the 12, but I thought a pretty bad holding call. Then he had an intentional grounding. So it gave the Vikings life, and part of how the Vikings just imposed their will was some of that power football. I was really impressed by Mason. What did you think about the way he played, and what are your thoughts on him just overall?
I think they got the perfect type of player who's a good complement to what they already have in Aaron. And I also believe Vernon Hargreaves. You know, a lot of people don't realize 2 years ago, I mean, he's one of the elite bullies in the National Football League. Like, that's what he does. And he was injured last year to be able to get him, so the ability to be physical from the tailback and to be physical from the defensive tackle with B-Flow, with all those blitzes and all those weapons that we have, you know, as far as our linebacking core, like, I mean, they got so much better in those two players.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason fits perfect with the three new offensive linemen, too, because we couldn't do that before. We're too small at the center position. Our guards weren't that good. You guys can't say stuff like that, but I can. And, you know, so now they'll utilize him with this offensive line, and the change of pace that it's going to give us is what it made Chicago do, was put an extra guy in the box, which opened up pass coverage. So then the young quarterback could look down the field and throw the football with a little bit of time there in the fourth quarter. So that's what running the football, it's an underrated skill to be able to have, and to, you know, it travels through the months, September, October, November, December, January, and a championship football team is going to have to be able to run the ball. And it's nice to be able to see that we have the variants for which we'll be able to run it now as far as the options of who we want to give it to.
Well, including, and it's not like I'm studying left guard play throughout the game, but I do pay enough attention to these services where they rank them, and I know some coaches believe in it, some don't. But I checked out a few, and people were raving about Donovan Jackson from your school, Ohio State. What were your thoughts on him and kind of how he fits in that mindset and the additions you're talking about?
Well, before the Vikings decided to draft him, like, he's a great kid. Great leader, soft-spoken, accomplished, hard worker, comes from a great family. Ohio State paid him $1 million his last year there.
Think about that. My gosh.
But,
you played too soon, man. I mean, you would have taken
You never know it's going to work out that way.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
So, you know, his ability and the perfect fit inside, you know, the Vikings locker room and inside that offensive line with the revamp, bringing the two guys over from Indy. And, you know, they've been playing powerful football there in Indianapolis, underrated for a long, long time, with very, very good running backs, having great seasons. We know you have the franchise tackle on the outside. Can't wait to get him back. But, you know, Jackson next to him, you know, that's how you're going to be able to beat Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, Philadelphia, potential Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore. Like, that's how you're going to be able to beat all these teams. Like, our scouting department's really done well as far as the players that we've drafted, especially of late. And he should be a really good football player for a long, long time. And he should do great things in the community because that's where he comes from. He comes from good people, and he's already started. He's already got a great reputation with his college days there in Columbus.
Last thing, and I'll let you go again, Chris Carter's with us. Kevin O'Connell now in one score games is 27-9. You played for a lot of good coaches, in particular Denny Green, and there are some coaches who have years where you're 3-5 in one score games. We're not talking 36 games. What does that say to you about their approach? If we're if the number is this high and at that high of a success rate.
I mean, who else in the league right now could you compare that to besides Andy Reid? I saw that they finally, you know, lost one, a one-score game, which they hadn't done in you know, a couple years or something like that. So it really speaks to the system. He has a program established. He's also got a great deal of belief from the players. Like, because even though the players have changed, like, he's been the constant. So that, and once you have success at that, and you let guys know, like, listen, the same thing he told JJ at halftime. Like, you're going to be the guy that brings us back. You're going to be the guy throwing the game-winning touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what he was telling him at halftime.
Right.
And he's got enough professor and NFL quarterback, like, in him, that combination. When you run – when he ran the tailback on a route out of the backfield, we couldn't pass the ball at all. He ran him on a double move, isolated on the linebacker.
Yep.
And I'm like, bro, that's a football play.
Yeah. Right.
He called that play. And it's not where, you know, everything's working out. Like, if we don't complete that pass right there for those big – because big plays were hard to come by. And to see him do it over and over, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's Justin Jefferson doing it, but all up and down the offensive skill guys, at key times, he calls their number, and they're able to be able to come up with a play. So, you know, it really breeds confidence, and, you know, he's got a legitimate program, and he is legitimately one of the best coaches in the NFL.
I got to sneak one more in because it's personal. When you watched your friend and your former teammate, Randy Moss, ring that cancer bell, talking about his progress and what he's been through, what did that mean to you?
Oh, it means the world. It means the world. I mean, that disease, eventually, you know, it knocks at your door or your neighbor's door. And the greatest athlete, it just lets you know how just mere mortal that we are. And besides our extraordinary athletic ability, you know, we always have an opportunity to have a platform to make a positive message. And that's what Randy's done through this whole thing. He's totally floored by it because it definitely caught him off guard, totally out of left field. But, you know, he's a huge success story. He's a huge overcomer. So I'm not surprised by that, but to see it, you know, that's to me because he was always like my little brother, you know, to see this blindside him, but to see him have success at it, you know, it makes you feel good as a fan of the purple and a fan of human beings. And, you know, life's not fair.
Nope.
But, you know, we do have an opportunity, you know, once we do encounter things like this, to stay positive and have positive effect on other people.
Fabulous as always, my friend. I know you're busy. I really appreciate you coming on. Hope the family's well, and thank you so much for your time.
All good, man. Thank you, buddy.
Chris Carter. It's 27 past 1 on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because we chatted with Chris for so long, we're going to go short here. Colonel David Hunt actually reached out to us because he wants to talk to us about this decision by Israel today, what this means for any negotiations with Hamas, what this means regarding the U.S. and Qatar and an ally. And Colonel Hunt also wants to talk about the National Guard in D.C. and how it might go. I will react to one of the texts saying stupid questions to start. So obviously everybody's entitled to their opinion. I will say this. I've been interviewing Chris. This is not an exaggeration. Since I started. 35 years ago. For years, a regular on my show with Dan. Okay? When we split on both of our shows a lot. A guy I've also golfed with numerous times. If we were just doing hardcore football, Dave, I would have just been breaking it down. But for a lot of people who listen to this station, they thoroughly enjoy football, but they want relatability. And you know what's relatable? How did you consume the game? And hey, it's not going well, so I'm going to try to change the luck for the team, knowing it has nothing to do with it, but I'm going to go switch and watch the game upstairs in my master bedroom. And now because they had success, we're going to try it there. So the questions I ask here versus when I was on The Fan or vice versa can be different because of the audience that you have available. But if you're going to have people on and it's not just the normal football TikTok, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. On the sports side, for my 35 years here, nobody better than Chris Carter. Billy Guerin is way up there, and Bill Guerin is as good as anybody now on the sports side. Carter, the day after they lost to Atlanta, I was able to convince him to come on with us. And if there's any interview that I've ever done that I would want to hear again, it's Chris Carter when he was down with the two of us, with Dan then, and Carter sobbing with us, talking about how emotional it was. So some of having people on, you have a trust and their willingness to ask you questions. But so that's just my explanation. But that doesn't mean you can't say they're dumb questions because people don't have to agree with the questions I ask.
Yeah, I'm on the side of the texter. I thought it was malpractice, and I've already written you up.
Yeah. Where does that go? Does that take away my Odyssey 10 points you gave me a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, you get not only the Odyssey bucks are gone, but you get two demerits.
Two demerits. All right, two demerits. I'm more worried about Colonel Hunt. Let's get to him. He's with us in moments on CCO.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The events in the Middle East today, Israel's decision to attack Hamas leaders in Qatar. What does this do to negotiations? What does this do to the reports the last couple weeks that Jared Kushner is back in the mix, working with Tony Blair and proposing negotiations to Israel and Hamas, and that these folks were targeted by Israel and Qatar were some of the top negotiators for Hamas and some of the top leaders. Israel is claiming success. Hamas is pushing back. Qatar is upset. Reports say that the U.S. was notified before and that the president had his main ally, Steve Witkoff, let Qatar leaders know just before the events. Colonel David Hunt is tremendous on stories like this, including one that is still unfolding right in front of our eyes. In the broadest sense, sir, what does this do to trying to end this war between Hamas and Israel?
Yeah, the largest monkey wrench you could find just got thrown in the middle of this. I got no problem killing terrorists. Hamas guys are very, very bad guys. Israel is going to kill them anywhere they can find them. However, you killed the head negotiator, who's also the head, the leader of the current living, probably dead, Hamas leader. Now you're going to deal with their tactical leader, who's the last one and second one alive, second most powerful guy alive, who's in Gaza. If you're Qatar, why would you want to host this anymore? I'm really glad we called them, you know, how many minutes or hours before the bomb. We've got a military, we've got a U.S. Army base right outside Doha. So you got 50 hostages, maybe 20 are still dead, 20 are dead. This throws a monkey wrench into any hope for any kind of negotiation. And it only puts Netanyahu still in power, which is, I think, part of the reason this war has gone on as long as it has. There are very few people left to kill in Gaza. And the Israeli military is back in there now, attacking God knows what. And there aren't any more buildings to flatten. This is if you're concerned at all or interested at all about getting this war stopped, there are other ways of killing the head guys that were in Qatar.
Yeah.
It didn't require anybody to drop a bomb in the middle of Doha.
Well, and let's talk about Bibi Netanyahu, because I'm with you. I don't think he wants the war to end. I think he's still fearful that if the war ends, his criminal charges are going to come up. And when he's saying earlier after this attack that this attack puts them in a better position towards peace, how does that have any credibility whatsoever? Zero, right?
It doesn't. The same government that pulled off possibly the greatest intelligence operation, history of intelligence operations, when they put bombs in pagers and cell phones,
yeah,
killed 7,000 plus, is the same government that didn't see October 7th coming at all? Not possible. So when we finally get answers, Israelis, who I love, finally get answers, he's gone. And there is part of that, in my opinion, has been since the beginning, the keeping him in power. And I think it's outrageous. There simply aren't many people left to kill in Gaza. And I meant it when I said there aren't a lot of buildings still standing. I mean, it's 25 miles long, 5 miles wide, and it's a desert. So the United States is the one country that can really influence this because of Israel's friendship to us, mm-hmm, and their dependence.
Colonel, let me just jump in. The phone broke up just very briefly there. So let me pick up on what you said there about our influence and our power with Israel. If you were to provide advice to the commander-in-chief who wants this to end for many reasons, including to win the Nobel Peace Prize, if you were to provide Donald Trump guidance after what happened today, what would you advise him? What would you say to him?
You're the most powerful man in the world, sir. Israel and I are great friends. We're great friends. We need to figure out a way to get this stopped. It's absolutely that simple. He's got a great relationship with Bibi, long years. It's time. It's more than time to, as you said, you want to earn the Nobel Peace Prize. Stop this thing.
Yeah. This is Colonel David Hunt, 30-some years of military experience. He's been brilliant with us for multiple decades. So for the folks who listen to this and say, you know what, I understand what you're saying, I understand how this escalates, but I'm never going to trust Hamas for anything they say, so how can you fault for the Israelis to continue going? For that mindset, what do you say to those folks?
I totally agree with them. The problem with the argument is this: killing them all. That's the objective, was kill everybody in Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, how many days have we been at this? 900 plus days.
Yep.
Killed over 15,000 terrorists, Hamas terrorists. Plus I'm not even counting the 7,000 you killed in Hezbollah, and they should be. The problem is Hamas has also recruited over 15,000. Killing them all doesn't work, Chad. It's never worked. So they don't want Hamas anywhere near Gaza. The problem with that is who's going to run Gaza? Because
yeah,
if Israel doesn't step in or Europe doesn't step in, Hamas will fill that vacuum as they did for the last 10 years. So, yes, Hamas are evil. Kill them. How many more? But you have to do something else.
Yeah.
Because what's working now isn't. And by the way, you've got hostages that need to be rescued.
Yeah, exactly. Colonel, let me squeeze in a quick break because I know you want to talk about the National Guard, what's taking place in D.C.,
what has already taken place in California, what might be headed to Chicago, and who knows how many other cities. So let's make it a brief pause. We'll come back with a great guest. Colonel David Hunt is with us. I'm going to mention this because I believe in it. I'm going tonight. I'm bringing my son. I talk about Quentin a lot for many reasons because I love him so much, and he's led me on such a different journey and a much, much, much better journey than I ever could have imagined. But Quentin has physical challenges. He has dramatic physical challenges, and he's an example of the wide variety of people that Stretch Lab helps. Whether a guy like Dave who just ran a participated in a triathlon, whether it's me who exercises some but not enough, whether it's somebody who's playing golf, pickleball, whether you're sitting on the couch, whether you're a 24-year-old with significant physical challenges, StretchLab.com will help you. Train specialists, months and months of training, start out with their 50-minute stretch, and they'll give you a great assessment. They'll listen to you. If you want to work on the calves, the hamstrings, the IT band, you say, no, I don't want that. I want the neck. I want the upper back. I want the traps. Or the 50-minute one, there's enough time they can work on everything. I've been going for 6 years. I'm not slowing down. You should join me, StretchLab.com. Close to 30 years of military experience in so many areas. Very fortunate to have him as a guest. Colonel David Hunt is back with us. We've watched it already, sir, with the president and the National Guard in D.C., clearly military in L.A. months before it. The White House in a press conference while this show is going on continues to tout the success of slowing down crime, stopping crimes before they take place in D.C. The president with his, you know, Apocalypse Now tweet out at Chicago, basically daring them. You're about to find out why it's called the Department of War. As a man with your military experience, who also knows that we have major cities with too many crimes, where do you stand on what is taking place and what has been ordered by the commander-in-chief?
I hate seeing uniformed soldiers, great National Guard guys. They've did such a phenomenal job during the global war on terror on the streets, American streets, with weapons. Hate it. Just it's wrong. I don't like it. Now, it works. I don't know the crime statistics because I don't think they've had any with Los Angeles because they were already guarding federal buildings, and they had also had deployed Marines. But in D.C., they lowered crime statistics. Here's the problem. They're going to leave. And because you never got at the root cause of this. The cops need more cops. They need more training and more money. And the elected officials of these cities have got to get serious about crime. So, yeah, it flexing the National Guard and federal officers, ATF, FBI, HSI are in these cities. Great. But at the end of this is now what? And without additional funding, cops and training, and, Chad, getting at the causes of this crime. Reminds me of the war on drugs, which we've lost.
Yeah, right.
We flex, we arrest, we show them, but we never get at the other side, which is the use. This is the same problem. And then, by the way, the problem with the guard guys is they're only they have to be on orders for 30 days, which they're not. They're on for 29. Why is that important? Because they would get per diem money to live in D.C. And that's criminal as far as I'm concerned. You're screwing the soldiers by having them on 29 days of duty instead of the 30.
Yeah.
So people want to talk about loving soldiers.
Right.
Pay them.
Yeah.
Pay them.
Yeah. Live up to what all those folks know what happens with one more day. You know, your first part is a part that a lot of people are going to pick up or listening right now who respect you are going to say, yeah, I heard the colonel right away say it's working. Now, whether the White House and their stats are accurate compared to D.C., we need to see him and have the debate. Clearly, the White House engages in hyperbole in pretty much every single thing about what they do. But for the folks who say, you know what? I got a crime issue and I live in Chicago. I have a crime issue. I live in Minneapolis. I have a crime issue in more major cities, and we wish we have the National Guard to slow it down. What do you say to those folks?
Yes, okay.
Colonel, did I lose you there? Oh, I don't know. What's that? Why don't you pop that down just for a second? That's kind of what popped up before in the first part of the segment. Why don't you pop him back up again here? Colonel, do you have me?
Chicago's still have the problem.
Yeah. Go ahead. We lost you just the first 10 seconds of your answer. Go ahead. I'm sorry. The phone just broke up. No problem.
Sorry. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, totally fine.
Yeah, the problem is that the statistics will go down. Then the National Guard will leave, and the federal cops at night will leave, and the crime's going to come back. You've got to get at the reason of the crime. You got to have public officials who really care about this. And you need more cops and more money and more training.
Yeah.
Period. So to all of these cities, they're going to get National Guard and federal police. We'll see a drop in crime for 30 to 60 days.
Yeah.
But the cops in Chicago or Los Angeles, wherever else they're going to do this, in D.C., which is a different thing because of the federal part, are going to still have the same problem. I would love to hear what the next step is, not just showing me great guard guys and cops in tactical gear running around doing their jobs. I would like to see what are you going to do? We're not going to hear that. We're not hearing the next step, which is a long-term problem, both for public policy and for enforcement.
Last thing, since we last chatted, the president has decided the Department of Defense doesn't work. We know the president loves branding. We know that's a huge part of his success throughout his life, whether it's personally, professionally, politically. So now it's the Department of War. As an individual, as a part of the military, 29-some years, what do you think of that decision?
You got to be kidding me. First of all, you can't rename it. It's a Title 10. Congress can rename it. Now what are you going to do? You're going to name it have T-shirts now? You want T-shirts to say Department of the War? And Hegstad wants to be called the Secretary of War? No. It's silly. You can't change it without Congress. The title, as I said, Title 10. And they're not going to change the stationery, apparently. Of course they're not. I don't understand. Here's the thing, Chad. All this talk from the Secretary of Defense about lethality and we're going to be warriors now, there's not a single program, not a single program from the Department of Defense on lethality or making soldiers better warriors. We have a great army, the best army on the planet. And any military can get better. But this one, this is a great military. And with issues, of course. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Navy, Guard have issues. But just saying lethality, there's no background backup.
Right.
There's been nothing done there's no meat on that bone. And changing a name and running around and saying words lethality and warrior doesn't get it done.
Yeah, the idea that now countries are going to fear us more because we switch to the Secretary of War is just it's nonsense. Great stuff as always. Thank you so much for reaching out. Be well. I'm thinking maybe 3 wins for the Patriots this year, so hang in there.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Right at the end.
Yeah, right at the end. Right about out of time. When I'm out of time, you know. Thank you, Colonel. Colonel David Hunt. I don't know what was going on with the phone. Is that us or is that him?
That was kind of weird.
Yeah,
at the end, he just hung up. He didn't even say goodbye. You upset him.
We're truth tellers here. We got JJ. They got Drake. Come on. We'll be broadcasting the Super Bowl victory parade right here. They got to come down 7th.
Should be nice.
Right in the middle of the day?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to park really far away. That's my main concern.
Oh,
how about this? Linda's Time Check. It's time for me to stop talking. It's time for you to upgrade your roof with impact-resistant GAF asphalt shingles. In fact, 75% off insulation labor through September 30th.
It's also Twins Ticket Tuesday,
It is Twins Ticket Tuesday.
Twins Yankees next Tuesday, week from today.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
The Yankees?
Yes. Dollar Dogs, Twins Yankees?
Aaron
Come on, be the third
Judge
caller when
Yankees.
You hear the thing.
Not now, when you hear the thing.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.